Welcome to Two Guys and a Question. Between them, Alan Creedy and Danny Jefferson have almost 100 years hands-on experience with funerals, funeral directors, finance, and real-life situations. Every Tuesday and Thursday, they field questions for more than 1,200 subscribers, hoping to stimulate your thinking and resolve your challenges.
Today's question is, I get it. I realize I have to increase the number of cases that a licensee serves, but I can't get my licensees to give up their non-licensee work. How do I do that?
Well, that's a good question because it's an age-old question. Funeral directors as a whole have egos. We all do. And some are harder to allow others to assist them. They prefer to do things on their own. They prefer to see families all the way through, which is not necessarily a bad thing. It really isn't. The family wants to be familiar with the director.
Well, my observation when I was managing funeral directors was that there was something of a safety blanket in doing it all. First of all, there was a lot of pride because funeral directors have a belief system that working hard long hours makes them worth it. The second part was, if I order the vault, then I know it's done. If I call the pallbearers, I know it's done. And yet, to me, that's simply a time filler. And they're not going to be able to meet more families if they continue that practice.
No, and I have learned over the years that the part-time, if you hire good part-time people, they will want to help. And I see it in a lot of funeral homes where they have part-time staff that only come in to drive a hearse on a funeral service.
Right.
Or they only come in to take flowers to somebody's house. And then the rest of the time, they're sitting down in a chair, maybe answering the door.
So what kind of duties could those people do to fill in that would take non-licensee?
Well, if you're right now beginning to hire, you wouldn't want to hire someone that doesn't have computer skills.
Correct. I get that.
You wouldn't want to hire somebody that doesn't understand how to transfer a call on today's modern phones.
Well, you said the other day that if people were to move to the way you did it, how you got to do 150 families a year, they would find that they might not need that extra licensee.
It's like playing a piano. It really is, where the keys are always in the same place.
Okay.
I think, 64 keys on a piano?
88, I think.
Whatever it is. But they're always in the same place. If you're going to your telephone, you're going to your keyboard, the letters, the numbers are all in the same place every single time.
So that speaks to the process.
Exactly.
All right,
so if you have the papers in the same place, if you have the same questions, you have the same script, realistically, anyone can pick up on that pretty quick.
I'm gonna differ with you there. And you mentioned earlier about the computer skills. Anyone with computer skills might be able to pick that up. Or anyone who, I'm sorry, I'm in my 70s now, so I can say this. But a lot of people in their 70s, they don't have the thinking capacity. And I'm worried about myself sometimes. So far, I haven't seen the evidence, but it's because it's me looking. But the reality is that you need, in my mind, if I'm a funeral director and I'm going to delegate non-licensee work to somebody else, I'm going to have somebody else ordering my vaults. I'm going to have somebody else helping to write and submit the obituary. I don't have heart attacks here, folks. If I'm going to do that, man, I got to be sure that person's really on the ball, right?
Well, I'm asking delegation. I'm not asking for the end result, meaning that I, as a funeral director, have to oversee these items. There's a process where I do it. I ask the questions. I find out about the family, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We have the casket. We have the vault. Everything is all set. We know what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now the process will be, let's do the paperwork. Let's get these things directed. Let's get these things ready. Let's make sure we have the church truck. Let's make sure that we have a flag ordered. Let's make sure that all of these things that are going to happen. Now, you pass that off to any employee that you have trained, and training is another whole complete topic we're going to deal with as far as this particular part. But if they are well trained, they understand the fault, they understand everything that you have on your sheets that are all the same. Now, what will happen is that you will be able to go assist another family. Right. You'll be able to do the whole thing again with a different family.
Or go to the Rotary lunch.
You can go wherever.
Right.
The crazy thing is, it gets done. Now, our particular paperwork that we've used has to be checked 4 times a day.
What do you mean, be checked?
10, 12, 2, and 4. Every single person that's working should be looking at this service sheet, making sure that if it's not okay, find out why. In other words, if it hasn't been circled that it's been done, they can ask anyone, why is this need to be done? Why hasn't has to be done?
Okay, so you have a safeguard process.
Exactly.
That's important.
Every single person that's working 4 times a day.
So everybody has mutual responsibility.
Right. And it's also helped at the end of the day, we all just sit down and we look at every single one. And that's the 4 o'clock process. We make sure everything is done. And if it's every single person's duty and obligation to initial it.
So, Danny, you make a big deal out of complying with the FTC rule, which you should.
Mm-hmm.
But in making a big deal out of that, what you're really trying to say is that there are many, many, many functions that funeral directors undertake. That was not a pun.
The
funeral directors do that are not required by either their local licensing laws or the FTC rule.
No.
And so that can be delegated. Now, I want to share a brief story. I have somewhere in my files a copy of a video that was produced by Pierce Brothers in California in 1939. All right?
They had videos back then?
It was, you know, whatever the film it was, but it's on a CD or DVD. It's incredibly boring. It's a training film, about an hour and a half long. But it's worth looking at because their structure, their model, which maybe we need to talk about, although I think it's extreme, was that when you came in for arrangements, you met with 5 people. First, you were picked up by the limousine driver at your house and driven to the funeral home for your appointment. Then you were greeted.
We used to do that.
Yeah. Then you were greeted by the, what would you call them? A receptionist. Let's call him a receptionist who made sure that you were comfortable and had something to drink and so on. All right. Then, if I remember correctly, the licensed funeral director came in to make your funeral arrangements and help you select merchandise. No, I actually think there was somebody in charge of merchandise, but I'm not going to quibble about that. Then, and I thought this was kind of cool, you met with the hostess who was going to be in charge of your viewing, and you met that, and you also met with the hairdresser who was going to cosmetize your loved one so you could talk to them directly. And guess who you met with before you left?
Finance person.
That's exactly right. Somebody came in to help you figure out how you were going to pay for this. It was really kind of a neat concept. But the licensed funeral director, now back then the laws were much less rigorous, but the licensed funeral director only did license work. Period.
Well, we didn't even have license in North Carolina until the mid-60s, I think.
Yeah, they may not have either. I don't know. So, but my point is they had divvied up all the responsibilities. Now, when I say it's over the top, I don't think you could afford to have all those people present at arrangements conference. But the reality was, my bet is if those people were still living, they could tell me that they were the funeral director, let's just call him funeral director, was probably able to serve more families a year than 85.
Well, everything you just said can still be done.
And that's our point.
Everything that you just said, we had done and we do.
So our question is, Their question is, how can I get my licensees to give up these non-licensee duties? And I have a piece of advice, and I'd like to know what yours is.
Wow.
I learned as a parent early on, my wife and I learned, I wasn't solely responsible for this, that every time that she and I had made a choice or a decision that was pretty much the final decision, and we stood our ground, we were resolved, the wailing and gnashing of teeth never lasted more than 5 minutes. And everything came back together. I applied that to management. Now, I'm very open and receptive to other people's input. I know you are as well. I do my homework, and I ask people their input prior to making a choice. But once I make a choice, it's the choice. I don't back off. I stand strong. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody can't give me additional information that causes me to maybe modify my decision. That can happen. But they're not going to negotiate because they don't want to do it or that they don't like doing it or whatever. This is a decision we made, and now the employee has a decision, and that is whether they're going to stay with the company or not. And I think that funeral directors sometimes, the reason they struggle with these kinds of changes is they're wishy-washy about them.
Well, I do it similarly, that I don't ask anyone to come to my office and give me a suggestion about anything that I don't listen to.
Right.
But if you're going to give me a complaint, you need to have a suggestion to follow it.
Correct.
That will overcome your complaint or will fix the complaint.
Right.
So, you know, it's just a staff thing.
Yeah.
But I'm a firm believer that you can do it and we can help.
Remember to send your questions by clicking the link at www.twoguysandaquestion.com. New questions are answered every Tuesday and Thursday at 4:22 p.m. Eastern Time.